south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, just a little weird heads up here. You probably know that most all email services now have second step verification, if you want it. You know, you go into the settings and you click on second step verification, and it's supposed to be a more secure way for you to access your emails to discourage hackers and no good nicks and people that might wanna get into your email and steal or data mine, whatever. So how likely is it for someone to steal or somehow get a hold of your password? Well, you could go right to one of those pirate sites and download a program that generates passwords for free. Yep, there are hacker programs out there just for that purpose. I suppose for mischievous dickheads with lots of time on their hands. So email services like Google, Hotmail, Gmail have come up with something called two-step password verification. And you can elect to do it or not. And you know, since email companies have been doing that, I've always recommended it. I use it myself. That is after I heard a few stories of hackers getting into people's emails and deleting everything. So you have to think of what your life would be like if suddenly all your emails went away permanently. Maybe that would be a good thing, huh? And thus, we have two-step verification. But is it really secure? Yeah, well, it really does trip up the vast majority of hackers, I'll tell you that. Because, you see, even if they were to get your main password, and many people have stupid, easy-to-guess passwords, once they see there's a second verification step, they just give up and go on to the next idiot. And it stands to reason, because you have the following options. You could get a recorded phone message that'll give you a 5 or 6 digit number, and that's the second step, and you plug that in. Come on, how's a hacker going to intercept that? Unless he's also somehow cloned your phone chip. And unless you're some kind of major player, that's highly improbable. So you can elect to get a phone call for that second verification, or you can elect to have a text message sent to the phone of your choice, and you'll get that 5 or 6 digit code. And I suppose that might be a little easier for a hacker to intercept. After all, it is stored as a text message permanently in your phone, unless you erase it. But remember, every time you log into your computer, they'll send you a different code, and that's the beauty of it. I've been using two-step authentication on my email services ever since they came out, a couple years now. The tough part, though, is if you travel a lot and you're using the phone verification method where you get a voicemail, if you don't have roaming or are in an area with poor cell coverage, you'll never get the call. Or the text message, which is why you should always select the option that allows you to pre-print hard copies of 10 codes. You print those, carry them in your zipper belt or secret pouch, whatever. Then you could travel the world, even to Outer Mongolia, and still have those codes for that second step. Then, after you've used up 9 of those codes, you can go into your settings and print up another 10. By the way, they only let you print 10 at a time. So yes, it's a good system. I always thought it was a great system until recently. Now, most of you who've listened to this program for any length of time know I have a Gmail account, and I receive thousands of emails every year. So anyway, just lately, as I've been using that two-step verification process, that's when I'm supposed to get a call from a synthetic female who gives me a 5-letter password code, I just happen to notice the caller ID where that phone call originates is, well, you'll never guess. All right, maybe you will. How about Washington, D.C.? Now, why would Gmail have a password authentication office or whatever in Washington, D.C.? Now, that set me thinking a bit. Of all the millions of places in the world they could have set up that system, it had to be that tiny 10 square miles of alphabet agencies in Big Brother. You'd think they'd have set it up in India or Latin America or Indonesia, whatever, where 99% of all the call centers originate from, where workers make 10 to 20 bucks a day. Well, the good news is I only use my Gmail account for very mundane types of correspondence. Nope, nothing earth-shattering, secret, or confidential. For that stuff, I use my StartMail account, which, by the way, I have to pay for, 60 bucks a year or something like that. And there's many reasons I selected that particular service. For one, it's got PGP end-to-end encryption, if you elect to use it, which I almost always do. depending, of course, on the information going back and forth. And one of the very cool things about it, it allows you to create up to 10 different alias email accounts. So what's that all about? Well, suppose there's a site or a download or a PDF you're interested in, let's say from the World Bank. To get a lot of that stuff these days, or even sign up on blog sites and stuff, a pop-up window will come up and you'll have to put your email address in, right? Otherwise, you won't get the article, the download, or the MP3, whatever. And you know, a few years back, you could put a fake one in and that was enough. But nowadays, you have to put a real one in because you get a verification link sent to that email that you'll have to click to get that free download or whatever. You've all been through that before, but you also know every time you give up your email, you're going to get on some mailing list. And of course, they always say, we will never sell your email or share it with unaffiliated third parties, which is all BS because internet business is all about selling your email to third parties. Anyway, if you put a false one in, you'll never get the link. And if you put your true one in, they've got your email and they'll be forever sending you all kinds of junk mail. And even though you're supposed to be able to opt out of that stuff somewhat easily, it doesn't always work. Sometimes you can't opt out unless you send a personal email and try to do so. Well, that's where that alias option on Start Mail comes in very, very handy. What you do is you create an alias and use that one when you're signing up to get a free report, PDF, whatever. You get an email with a verification link in your Start Mail box, and it comes in with a new alias name that you just created. Okay, so you open up that email, click on the link, get your download, and then you can choose to wipe out that email alias you just created, and no one that has it will ever be able to send an email back to you because it doesn't exist anymore. Isn't that nice? Not to mention, disappearing email aliases are great for sending hate mail and complaints to jerks and liar-ass, pus-brained, thieving politicians. The ones that can actually read, anyway. Like I said, you can create an alias that lasts only one day, a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever you select. Or perhaps forever. For example, a new expat who came down to one of my expat insider seminars recently now lives down here. His Social Security just kicked in and he wants to have his Social Security checks direct deposited to his Latin country. So he signed up on the Social Security website using a Start Mail email alias. And now all of the correspondence that goes back and forth between him and the Social Security Administration come through that email address only. Sure, it comes through his regular Start Mail, but it's tagged with his email alias, so he knows when it lands in that box, it's always going to be government crap. That way, it never gets mixed in with any of his regular Start Mail accounts or other aliases. So with Start Mail, you can have up to 10 alias accounts, and if you eliminate one, you just add another if you like. Or you don't have to use any alias accounts at all. But the option is there. So basically, it's a way to have complete control of your email accounts and eliminate, or nearly completely eliminate, the spam and junk mail component. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I have a Start Mail account, yes, and I get nothing for telling you about Start Mail. I'm not affiliated with them, don't get a kickback. Just think it's the best email service going out there, but you have to pay for it, $60 a year. Another cool thing is that once you buy in, they have this offer going. It's been going ever since they started a couple of years ago, that if you buy the full service, they give you two extra Start Mail accounts to give away as gifts to your friends or whoever. They get to have those as gifts for an entire year. In fact, that's how I first got started with it about 3 years ago. A new expat friend of mine, Dave, who came to one of my Expat Inside seminars, gifted one of his Start Mail subscriptions to me. And then after I started using it a while and saw the anonymous beauty of it, well, since then I've been hooked. Of course, I still have a Gmail account. Just because I've had it for a long while and people are used to sending me stuff there. Otherwise, surely I'd dump it. But the problem is that over the years, I must have accumulated 20,000 old emails and I can't just dump that service. Because sometimes, you know, you want to look something up and have to do a search. And if I dump Gmail, that stuff's all history. So anyway, we're all looking to lower our profiles and have a smaller footprint. And this is a great way to do it at startmail.com. And better yet, their servers are, guess where, in the Netherlands. So the U.S. government, as much as they like to snoop and have a backdoor into everybody's personal life, having your server in a neutral foreign country makes that all the more difficult. Bottom line, do use the encryption option with anything sensitive or financial. Now, I know there are other so-called anonymous email services out there. Maybe they're great. Maybe they're even better than Start Mail. And some, if not most, are even free. But do look out for that, because nothing's for nothing, you know. That's why Gmail, Yahoo, and Hotmail have such huge data files on everyone. Yep, they pretty much own all your personal information, but you knew that already, right? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use them, but don't use them for anything critical, secure, personal, controversial, or delicate. With them, everything you've written is there permanently, with the possibility it can be used against you in the future. You can never take it back. That said, you know I like to talk once in a while about cars and motorcycles and traffic and getting around in Latin America. That's always very important for gringos and expats, especially since roads are so chaotic and haphazard and all the signs are in Spanish. So there are certain ground rules you should know before getting behind the wheel, or the handlebars, whatever the case may be. Which brings me to a little story I heard about 2 or 3 days ago. It happened to a gringa lady who chose to live down here in my favorite place, the Altiplano. Perfect spring weather all year round, about 4,000 to 7,000 feet above sea level generally. A place where you need no heating or air conditioning for your home. Huge advantage, huh? Anyway, she came to one of my early Expat Insider seminars and now she's down here for good. I was in her car the other day and her air conditioning was on the blink. Now, I just said you don't need air conditioning for your home, but you always need air conditioning for your vehicles, no matter where you are in Latin America. More about that in a minute. So she asked me if I knew any good car mechanics / air conditioning guys. Now, anyone who uses their car air conditioner frequently knows that after a while, some years usually, it peters out. Generally, it just needs to be recharged with Freon or a Freon substitute that's kind to the ozone layer. Anyway, you just go to the local AC shop and you get it charged up again. And with any luck, it'll last another couple of years. The cost for doing that up in the States is around $200 to $300. Just looked it up. And down here in Latin America, around $30 to $40. Which is more proof of the ultra-low cost of living down here in Latin America, especially off the gringo tourist trail. Now, don't be confused. Even if you're in the perfect spring weather of the Altiplano, you'll use your air conditioner in your car practically every day. The higher up you are, the more the sun penetrates. So, as you're driving along, the sun is beating down with extra intensity on your windshield and dashboard, your seats, etc. And believe me, you'll be miserable if you don't have air conditioning. And you might think that in such nice weather, you just roll your windows down and drive around like that. Well, that's perfectly fine out in the boonies and in the suburbs, but never recommended while driving in a city of any size. And that's a very good rule of thumb whether you live in the first or third world. However, if you're down here, you'll note that Latin Americans don't seem to heed that advice. Even people who have nice late model new cars, they'll be talking on the cell phone with the window open and their elbow hanging out. The same people who often later will complain they had their cell phones plucked right out of their hands, or worse. Because, you see, there is a kind of an epidemic in big Latin cities, especially in the crummy neighborhoods, where drivers in cars will be sitting at a stoplight, window down, cell phone in hand, and a motorcycle will pull up, a driver and his passenger, both with helmets on. The guy in the back will reach in, rip the phone out of your hand, and they'll head right off through the red light. Yep, you hear stories like that all the time, but you don't hear them from people who keep their windows up. And if you keep your windows up, you will need air conditioning. And sooner or later, it'll poop out on you. And though getting it recharged or fixed is not nearly as expensive down here as it is up in the States, why get stuck with the bill? And now, of course, you're thinking, is Johnny nuts? Of course you'll have to pay the bill if you're going to get it fixed. Well, if you think I'm nuts, there's a point to be made here that could save you a ton of money. Because the other day, I was sitting around with my car mechanic. I stopped there because I hit a pothole rather hard and pretty much destroyed the rim, or at least I thought I did, on one of my front tires. He took the tire off, grabbed a big sledgehammer, beat on it for a while until it was almost perfectly round again, put the tire back on good as new. Saved me a good $50 to $75 for a new rim. Anyway, we got to talking about air conditioning, which he claimed for the repair guy anyway, it's the biggest racket in all of Latin America. And I said, what? Now, this guy doesn't do air conditioning, but when someone comes in with an AC problem, and they come in all the time, he says he can usually fix it in about 3 minutes without sending them to the AC specialist. The system won't have to be charged with gas. They'll save $40 or $50. And like he said, they won't get sucked in by AC guys who will often oversell you. saying that you not only need to have the AC system recharged, but you'll need some seals and gaskets and such, which could run another $50 or $100 on top of the first $40 or $50. And in the States, $500 or more. Then I said, wait a minute, you don't do AC, but you can fix half of them in about 2 minutes. By the way, I knew that trick he was talking about. Maybe you do too. Well, let me explain. If your AC is just blowing warm air or kind of weak, half the time it's got nothing to do with the charge of the gas or even the seals. Probably 80 or 90% of all drivers don't know that there's a filter that's right behind your glove compartment that periodically needs to be cleaned or changed. Often kind of difficult to get to. You have to actually take the glove compartment out, and right in back of it, you got a HEPA filter. So what that little mechanic will do, he'll pull out the HEPA filter, smack it around a bit, and blow it with some compressed air. And more than half the time, problem solved. And the look on people's faces says it all. Who knew there was a filter back there? Well, it says so in your manual, but who reads manuals? However, like the mechanic says, when you take it to a regular AC guy, what they'll do is they'll automatically charge it up with some gas, $40 or $50 there, pull the filter to show you just how disgusting and dirty they are, and they always are. They won't clean it. They'll tell you you need a new one for $25. Then, if they're having a slow day, they just might tell you you need a couple of seals replaced for another $25 to $50. So, it's not surprising you'll find just as many crooked car mechanics down here as you will up north. However, down here, they're crooked to a quarter or a fifth of the price that you'll get stuck for up in the States. So again, it's buyer beware, especially with ladies and car mechanics. So for you guys and gals up there who don't know about that stuff, now at least you know about the filter. So if your AC's all screwed up, you pull in to any kind of garage mechanic and tell him to clean your AC air filter before you drop any big dough. Oh, and funny enough, my little garage mechanic said that more than half the people driving around with their windows down are doing so because their AC doesn't work and they don't want to take it to the AC man because it's too expensive to fix. Yet there's a 50-50 chance it's just the filter, but Latins don't know about that filter either. So how do you find a good car mechanic? Well, I never go to those big car dealerships or even those Goodyear or Pirelli, Walmart, or Costco mechanic shops either, unless it's for a sale on batteries or tires. You'll always pay twice as much at those places compared to the little neighborhood guy, who'll probably do the job just as well, maybe better. But of course, there are some scumbags too, so just ask around and try to keep away from a guy whose shop looks a little too slick or he looks a little too slick. And do look out if he's working on high-end, late-model cars like Range Rovers and Mercedes and such. Then you're likely looking at much higher prices too. Bottom line, give your business to the little local neighborhood mechanic if at all possible. And if you're thinking you have to bring your car in to the dealership because they've got all the right electronic equipment to check your computers in your car, well, these days, every cell phone has apps that can check out any car's computer system. So even the corner grease monkey in a lean-to garage with a gravel floor can figure out what's happening with most cars. Oh, and by the way, you know what it cost me to have my rim bumped out after I hit that gigantic pothole? Try $2.50. Versus $50 to $75 to buy a new rim. Which, believe me, after looking at the thing, I was ready to do, but my little corner mechanic said, let me take a whack at it. And whack he did, and it looks fine. Even spray painted it so you can't see the hammer marks. Okay, now I'd like to switch gears and hit on a subject that's near and dear to anyone over 50. Healthcare here in Latin America. So we'll talk now about some of the healthcare options you'll have once you get down. Things I recommend for gringos and expats so they're covered if anything happens. Now, if you're a 20 or 30-something, you're invincible, so this won't apply to you. But first, let me prime the conversation with this news article. According to a recent New York Post article, it says, Ovamit is in the process of gutting the Medicare system for senior adults. It says, under the guise of reform, Ovamit is dismantling Medicare. The article is by Betsy McCahey. It says, the stakes are high and the access it gives seniors to medical innovations that have continuously increased lifespans for people in the U.S. will soon be a thing of the past. It says, before Medicare, older people languished in nursing homes, lived their final years out in beds and wheelchairs, and had crippling diseases. But with Medicare, many of them dodged that fate with cataracts, heart operations, pacemakers, joint replacements, etc., mostly paid for and made possible by Medicare. The American Journal of Public Health reports that an adult turning 65 today can expect to live more than 5 years longer than he would have in 1970 and with a better quality of life. Again, thanks to Medicare. It's a gift, the article says, that Obama is snatching away. Then it says the president's Medicare reform legislation makes it harder and harder for seniors to get those aforementioned medical treatments. His new payment rules shortchanges doctors, discouraging them from taking Medicare patients in the first place. That, along with stringent new emergency room rules, have hospitals getting bonuses for spending less per patient, despite having increasingly higher infection rates as more and more seniors are admitted. Now get this. The latest assault is a 962-page list of regulations dictating how doctors must treat their patients. As a result, precious minutes with your doctor are wasted completing mandatory forms, reports, and checklists for the federal government. Physicians now find themselves glued to their computer screens during patient visits, following prompts and checking lists, very rarely making eye contact with their patients. A renowned New York cardiologist, Jeffrey Borer, says doctors are fed up. Doctors who want to interact with their patients will simply have to opt out of Medicare or not comply, says Dr. Richard Amerley, past president of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. He says Obama's rules are far too burdensome and complex to be workable for most physicians. Dr. John Halanka warns, a Harvard Medical School professor, he says the new rules also make seeing Medicare patients a money loser for nearly all physicians. Annual increases for physicians are capped this year at less than 1%. He says no wonder 9 out of 10 practicing physicians admits they'll avoid Medicare patients in the future. That's right, when 10,000 new baby boomers are joining Medicare each day. Worse yet, Obama's rules for Medicare spelt disaster for seniors with cancer. Oncologists are getting a pay cut, being prodded to choose cheaper treatments and cheaper drugs, regardless of which medication is best for the patient. This will definitely limit patient access to newer drugs and therapies. Now, if you remember, in Obama's run for presidency in 2012, he accused Republicans of plotting to undermine Medicare for seniors. In fact, a pro-Obama ad of that time showed a Republican pushing Granny in a wheelchair off a cliff. Now, I'm not saying I agree at all with the U.S. medical big pharma complex, but if regular first world media types are starting to call out huge defects in the system, well, there's really big trouble. Which is, again, why you're listening to this show, right? Because you're putting together a plan B. So then what about medical and healthcare when you get down here? Well, here are my suggestions based on time and experiences and actual cases of gringos and expats who've had medical problems while down here in Latin America. Number one, get on an insurance plan down here right away. And the cheapest and easiest way to do that and get very good coverage is to hook up with one of these bank plans. Remember I mentioned in a past show that many big Latin banks are now offering healthcare insurance to those people who've got an account, even a simple passbook account. And there's no physical either. You can get on right away. Just start paying the premiums. And for what you get, it's exceptionally inexpensive. In fact, even for a family plan, you'll pay no more than $75 a month. However, as you know, it's very difficult to get a bank account in Latin America unless you're a resident, permanent or temporary, which is why that should be in your plan B as well. That said, if you come down to Latin America and apply for residency, it still will take the better part of a year before you're granted it. So what do you do in the meantime? You hook up with an insurance broker and get some quotes on some private healthcare insurance. In fact, in front of me right now, I have 5 separate quotes from 5 separate private insurance companies. Full coverage family plans based on a 44-year-old adult, head of household, and none of these plans go over around $120 a month, and some of them much less than $100. And you could select plans that cover only your Latin country, or all of Central America, all of Central and South America, or worldwide. With all the bells and whistles, helicopter, airlift, flight to life, coverage for AIDS, transplants, dialysis, the works. Just like some of the top plans in the U.S. at about a tenth the price. Of course, there's a 6 months to a year waiting period for pre-existing conditions, but coverage for that stuff will kick in later. So again, when you come down here, get a hold of an insurance broker. And by the way, if you come down to my Expat Insider Seminar, we'll fill you in on all that. In fact, our expat concierge ladies can hook that all up for you, even get your quotes on all that when you're down here. So bottom line, throughout Latin America now, you can get top-notch healthcare plans equal to, even better than, some of the best healthcare plans up in the States for a sixth to a tenth of the cost. And of course, your premiums will be based on age. By the way, you'll find plans down here that have 20% deductible to no deductible. And most of them you can sign on to up till age 65. And they'll cover you to age 99 or forever. Of course, we all think we're going to live forever, right? So when you come down, if you can't get your residency right away, just sign up for one of those plans. And believe it or not, some of these insurance plans don't even ask you to take a physical. How about that? And when you finally get down here, I urge you to sign up for a service called Alerta Medica. It's an emergency ambulance service that's in 19 different Latin countries. And get this, for only around $200 to $300 a year, your whole family is covered and anyone who might be in your house if there's, let's say, an accident. For example, if your neighbor's in the house and he chokes on a driveway chicken bone, you call Alerta Medica. They'll show up at your house and treat that person, take them to the nearest first world hospital. By the way, they'll have paramedics on board, and most of the times, there'll even be a doctor on board that ambulance making that house call. That $200 to $300 a year covers, get this, up to 12 emergency visits a year to your house, office, whatever. So if there's an emergency of any kind with your family, whether you're at home or anywhere, you speed dial Alerta Medica. They come by in 10 minutes or so, fully equipped with paramedics, even a doctor, and they take you to the hospital of your choice. No other extra charges involved. Now, we go into all of this in much greater detail at the Expat Insider Seminar. We'll visit a first world hospital, talk to some doctors, go over various insurance plans, and answer all your healthcare questions. And speaking of the Expat Insider Seminar, there are still a few spots left. We're more than 3/4 full now. If you still want to get in on the early bird discount, which ends on November 1st, go to www.thenewexpat.com. Click on Johnny's January 2017 seminar link at the top of the page. And while you're there, don't forget to check out John Galt's famous pre- and post-seminar trips. When you come down, you want to get as much boots-on-the-ground time as possible, which is what John Galt's trips are all about. And finally, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. That's YouTube/TheExpatFiles, all one word. You'll get a kick out of them. Do subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
This is The Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.